This is Sound Doctrine, the chapter-by-chapter and verse-by-verse study through the Word of God with Jeff Johnson, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Downey.
There is only one true living God, and there are many little g gods that people look to. But He, God, is infinite, He's eternal, He's sovereign, He stands alone. He is the living God.
Lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Oh Lord, please take me deeper still.
Today on Sound Doctrine, it's part one of No Graven Images, commandment number 2 from Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. This message was given the day after Barack Obama was elected president.
Father, we ask your blessing on the word to us tonight. We need it so desperately in these days. We need you to speak to our hearts and to speak to us truth. We need you to comfort us and to be with us during times of change. And Lord, as these changes take place, that we will look to you. You're the author and finisher of our faith, and we will be strengthened. We will be comforted. We will be encouraged. And so, Lord, thank you for just leading us into this portion of Scripture to speak to us about what your Spirit would have us to know tonight. And we appreciate your love for us, your care for us. Thank you for the hope you've given to us in Jesus Christ. And continue to pour out your Spirit upon us as we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. This study sort of goes along with what happened last night. And you say, what? Well, it didn't go our way, did it? And you say, what do you mean your way? Or our man didn't make it. And our new reality is Barack Obama. He's now our 44th president. And a lot of people are going, whoa. And a lot of you went, whoa, when it happened. And I thought, my mind immediately went to Isaiah 55. And it simply says in there that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're past our finding out. And so God is in control. We know that. Because the Bible says that He raises up and He lets down. Promotion comes where? From the Lord. It doesn't come from the north, the south, the east, the west. It comes from the Lord. So what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? And then I was thinking in Daniel, there's an interesting portion of Scripture. You can just jot this down. But in Daniel, in chapter 4, he says in verse 17, talking about the watchers, that the living may know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whosoever he will. And he sets up over it the basest of men. Interesting. God is doing these things. And then he goes on to say in verse 25 at the end of the verse, till you know, you need to know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and he gives it to whosoever he will. And then in verse 32 again, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, he'll give it to whosoever he will. And then in verse 35 of Daniel 4, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. So God is having his way and his will in our nation today. I was reminded of in 1 Timothy where Paul, talking to young Timothy, said in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, I exhort therefore and first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. You mean Caesar? Yeah. And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And so we need, just as the Lord has instructed Timothy, we need to pray for our new president. We need to pray that God will be with him and that he'll see and sense that what he has before him is an awesome task. and that he'll begin to reach out to spiritual men, men of God, men of wisdom, and begin to put them where they belong. See, God can still do a great work here. Barack Obama is in the hands of the Lord. And so is this country. And so are we. And so we pray. We intercede. But he says in this portion of scripture in Exodus, you shall have no graven images. You see, this is the second commandment in God's Ten Commandments. And remember, we talked about this. It's given to all people for all time. This is his law. It's his moral ideal for man to live up to. It's kind of like God's bullseye for man. You need to hit this target. Interesting. All of us fall short of that target. We sin. In the Robin Hood days, they used to take the bow and arrow and try to hit the target. If they missed the target, they said, "Oh, I've sinned." We all miss the target, the bullseye. We've all come short of the glory of God. We sin. So this law that God has set up becomes man's schoolmaster, driving us to Christ and his sacrifice. That none of us can make the grade. That all of us have broken the commandments of God. And we all come short. We all need salvation. Over in Romans chapter 8, in verse 2, Paul says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this new nature that we come upon when we receive Christ, our old sinful nature is put down. It's put out of business. This new nature is given to us that we can be obedient to the law of God. Now, the first four commandments, we've already shared this, are man's relationship with God. The first one is no other gods. We went through that already. And I was reminded of Romans chapter 13, where it says that every soul is subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Again, going back to what happened last night. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive unto themselves destruction. And so he goes on to just say that God is involved in all of this. And then he says, "Owe no man anything." And this is in Romans 13:8. "But love one another." And then in verse 9, he says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself." Interesting, this whole thing comes down to, as we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and as we love our neighbor as ourselves, we've taken care of the whole law. That's what Jesus said. And that's in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. He's in control. And yet he's saying, "I want you guys to love one another. First love the Lord, and then love one another. And then you'll be able to lead many to Christ." There's our mandate. There's what we're supposed to be doing. "But Jeff, you said to vote." And I said, "Hey, yeah, you voted. I hope you did. You did your part." And then we commit the rest, don't we? And we let the Lord take care of it. Now, number two, no other images. To worship only the Lord. Because idols, they're substitutes for God. They're not a God, because there is only one true living God. And there are many little g gods, that people look to. But He, God, is infinite. He's eternal. He's sovereign. He stands alone. He is the living God. Over in Isaiah, jot this one down. Isaiah 42 in verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. He is the Lord. There is none like Him. Not one. Pagan worship is not only illogical, it's unbiblical, it's immoral, it has got mixed in with it prostitution, especially in religious rituals that they were into, demonic worship, child sacrifice. In fact, Paul, writing about what they were worshiping, said this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And so he made it very clear what they were worshiping and what they were doing as they were bowing down to their idols. And those things were all to be destroyed and brought down. Idols always rip men off. Turn with me to Psalm 115 and look at this portion of Scripture by the psalmist and what he says about idols. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. So they're pretty dumb. And those that bow down to them are pretty dumb. No matter what you're doing, you're looking at something that's just looking at you. And it's just nothing. Dead. And then verse 8 says, they that make them are like unto them. That's the worst part of it all. You become like the idol, the God you worship. Your heart, your mind, everything is caught up in it. It becomes hard and calloused. These take away energy. They take away time. They conform us to be like them. So they rip men off all the time. Ripping people off. That's why John said this in 1 John 5:21. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you say, well, what are you talking about? They're not going to bow down to these stupid idols. No, he's talking really there about idols in the heart. Idols in our hearts. So let's go to our text now, back into Exodus 20. And look at our verse here in verse 4, where the Lord says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, in the sky, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth or the sea. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Now, throughout history, everyone was asking and wanting to know, what does God look like? A little girl was painting and doing her own little sculpture work and saying, I'm making God. And some guy said, what do you mean you're making God? No one knows what God looks like. They will in a moment. And she keeps drawing, you know. Greg Laurie, in his early track, his Living Water track, I think it was, way, way, way back, he described and he etched a guy painting a picture of God, and the picture was exactly like himself. As he was describing his God, it was himself. It's a mystery. Man's looked to the heavens. The Indians of old looked to the sky and they saw the eagle, and they immediately said the eagle's the top dog. And the eagle is just awesome. It soars in the air. It controls everything. Its beauty is unbelievable. That definitely has to be God. And so they stuck the eagle on the top of the totem pole. He's the top dog of all the other dogs that were there in their totem pole. And they worshiped the eagle. Then there was the Egyptians. They looked at the earth and they saw on the earth the cow, and they began to look at the cow and saying the cow is unbelievable. It is just an ever-giving beast that is kind. It's content. It's always giving. It's gentle. That's got to be God. And they worship the cow. I went into some of the bull sarcophaguses and where they buried them under the earth. Whole cities of bulls that were buried with silver and gold and everything you can imagine inside the graves of these stupid bulls. And they worship the bull, the cow. Then the Phoenicians looked at the sea and they saw the giant turtle. And they love the smoothness that it goes through the water. And they began to look at that giant turtle as it's so free and it's so safe in its shell and it's protected. This is our God to us. And they began to worship the turtle. But God said, do not do this. You will be inaccurate and it will be inadequate. It won't turn out right. Why? Because the eagle goes forth to kill little mices. What kind of God would go after and be a predator and go after little mices? That's weird. That's got to be wrong. And then you go on with this, and the cow, he can just dry up. No more milk. What kind of God would just dry up and give us no more milk? And then you look at the whole thing with the turtle. He ends up being soup. No, God's going to end up being soup, you know. So what's going on here? This is not me, God is saying. Idols are false gods. Today they take the shape of money, of recognition. They take the shape of success, of material possessions, of knowledge, of other people. Of Barack Obama? I saw some worship. There was an idol. This law prohibits the worship of false gods, but also this law prohibits the true God from being worshipped in a false way. Remember the golden calf? As the children of Israel gathered around? It's not that God is threatened by these little g gods, because they really don't exist. They just sit there and look at you, okay? And they're false, and they just don't exist. But he's jealous, it says here, because he wants the very best for us. He loves us. That we would not spin our wheels about something that's not going to bless us. It's like a parent for his son. You don't want your son just to spin his wheels and do something that's going to waste his time and his energy. So you try to direct him. Or with a spouse. You want to see your mate, you know, not, you know, just do something that's for nothing. He doesn't want us wasting our time, our energy, our passion on worthless prostitution or adultery. And exactly the worship of idols is that. In fact, that's what James calls it. Hosea does a whole thing, chapter 1, 2, and 3, on the whole thing of the prostitute. So you can read that later on. But James says it this way. This is James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You're at war with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And so he's really putting his finger on something there. The love of the world. How do we know who he is, who God is? I found a scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Let me read it to you. It's a powerful scripture. 1:15. He says, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So that's God. God is Jesus Christ. Very simply said, Jesus is his image. Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. God manifest in his Son. God incarnate in Jesus. And then going on in Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 3, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So if you want to know who is God, you want to know Jesus. You want to study Jesus. You want to look to Jesus. You want to read about Jesus. You want to look into Jesus. He said, through the volume of the book, it is written of me. It's all about Jesus. And that's how we know God and who he is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You say, well, I would never make an image or an idol. Here's something to think about. We are vulnerable to make our image our God. We are vulnerable to make our image our God. You say, what are you talking about? Here's where I think we blow it big time. To get in the in crowd, you got to have this, you got to have that. You want to wear this, you want to wear that. It's our image, our clothes. Do you have Nikes on? Or do you got, you know, Balance, New Balance? You know, are you in like Flynn or out? And the kids really go for this, you know, especially in school. You know, you want to be in, and it's all about image. What you wear, what you buy. Oakley sunglasses. You got the O on the side of yours? Hey, look at this. Look what I got, you know. And yeah, they're a real thing. No, I got them in Mexico, you know. They're ripoffs, you know. But just to get the O on the side, man, it's the image. And we buy into it. What we drive, the right label, it's all about image. But it's a lie. It's always been a lie. Because really, when you get down to it, nobody cares.
You've been listening to Sound Doctrine Radio with Pastor Jeff Johnson of Calvary Chapel Downey. If you'd like us to send you a copy of today's message, CDs and cassettes are available for a suggested donation to the Sound Doctrine Radio program of $5 or more. Just call 1-800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org and order program number 08345. Or just mention the title of the message, No Graven Image, Commandment Number 2. Or send a check payable to Sound Doctrine Radio in care of Calvary Chapel, 12808 Woodruff Avenue, Downey, California, 90242. I'll repeat our phone number and website in just a moment. We recently began our study of the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, as Pastor Jeff likes to call them. But if you want to get a jump on these lessons and start going through them before they even air on the radio, you can now order the entire series on CD or MP3. You'll get all of the messages from Exodus chapter 20 that Pastor Jeff will be presenting over the next few weeks, including No Other Gods, Honor His Name, The True Father's Day, Honor Mom and Dad, Thou shalt not murder, do not commit adultery, don't steal, speak the truth, don't covet, and today's message as well. we're making the entire series available for a suggested donation to the Sound Doctrine Radio program of just $10 or more for MP3, $19 or more for CD. That's Pastor Jeff's entire series of teachings through the Ten Commandments, yours for a donation of $10 or more for MP3 format, $19 for CD, only from Sound Doctrine Radio. Now, to order the CD or MP3 package, or just today's message, No Graven Image, Commandment Number 2, call us now at 1-800-353-7553. That's 1-800-353-7553. Or visit us online, sounddoctrineradio.org. Oh, and Pastor Jeff would love for you to join him on a trip to the Holy Land in April. Call the church office for all the details at 562-803-5631 or visit calvarydowney.org. Thanks for listening today. We pray that you'll be filled with the love of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you would grow deeper still in your walk through sound doctrine. Sound Doctrine Radio is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Downey, California.